Today on Family Talk.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's edition of Family Talk with your host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Roger Marsh, filling in for Dr. Dobson for the rest of the week while he is in Israel meeting with government officials before the move of the U.S. Embassy to the biblical capital of the Holy Land, Jerusalem. But not to worry, we have some great programs for you. On today's broadcast, we are reaching back into our broadcast archives to bring you a timeless conversation Dr. Dobson did with New York Times bestselling author Joel Rosenberg and Tom Doyle of E3 Partners. They'll be discussing the history and the current state of Israel. Now, in the first part of their interview, the three will talk about the biblical prophecies that pointed to Israel becoming a country again and God's divine protection and provision for his people since the late 1940s. So sit back and enjoy this classic broadcast on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
The date was May the 15th, 1948, and I was 12 years old. And I was about to leave for school, and my mother came to me, and she asked me to join her in the bedroom before I left. And she said it with a great deal of intensity, so I knew something was up. And she sat on the bed, and I stood in front of her, and she began to talk to me excitedly about something that had happened the previous day in the United Nations. And she said, for centuries, I'll never forget this, she said, for centuries, Christian people have been waiting for the fulfillment of biblical prophecy that foretold a return of the Jews to the Promised Land. And she said that that had happened the previous day because Israel had become a nation again after nearly 1,900 years. And she said this to me with great joy and praise. And that moment is still very vivid in my mind today, six decades later. Now, we have a couple of guests here to talk about this subject with us who know far more about it than I do. I'm not a theologian, but I'll tell you, I know what I believe, and I know why I believe it, and the biblical references to it. But the land of Israel means a lot to me, and we're going to be talking about its meaning for today. Now, before I introduce our guests, I need to say that my theological understanding of this tiny country and the place that it holds in the Bible is seen very differently by various Christian churches and theologians. This may be one of the most controversial things that we've ever talked about here. Some will not agree at all with what I've been taught from my earliest childhood, and I want to say that we intend to offend no one. We don't have absolute truth here, but we do know, as I said, what we believe. And to those who have different beliefs, I only ask that you listen with charity and tolerance and understanding to what we're going to share today. And I invite those listeners, both pro and con, to write and express their agreement or disagreement with us, and we will read all of that with a great deal of interest. With that, let me introduce our guest, Joel Rosenberg. He's a best-selling author of books that have been on the New York Times best-selling list. It is remarkable and tells you that there's an appetite for that biblical understanding.
And fiction allows you to take people in to understand the way you see the world. It's all based on my understanding of Scripture.
Well, we talked about your book, Epicenter. That is a nonfiction work, but you have had a knack for recognizing the times, like the sons of Issachar, and knowing what to do. The books that you've written have been, in some cases, tragically right on, including the 9/11 experience.
That's true. The first novel, The Last Jihad, opens with a kamikaze attack against an American city by radical Islamic jihadists, and it leads to a war between the United States and Saddam Hussein over terrorism and weapons of mass destruction, all of which was written before any of it happened. That's why I say in the author's note of Dead Heat, I pray to God nothing in this novel ever comes true, because I don't want people to think
it's pretty stark.
Yeah, or that that I'm seeing a vision in the middle of the night and saying exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, the Ezekiel Option was another novel that you wrote. All of these have been bestsellers, and you have spent a lot of time and effort in that area, and it's a pleasure to have you here. Joel is the founder of the Joshua Fund, a nonprofit organization with a goal of blessing Israel and providing humanitarian relief to Israel and Arab countries combined. He previously served as a senior advisor to former Israeli Deputy Prime Minister Nathan Sharansky and the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. And Joel, of course, is an evangelical Christian with Jewish roots and holds a BA in films from Syracuse University. Also with us is my great friend Tom Doyle, who lives in our neighborhood here. He joins us for the first time on this broadcast, although we have been acquainted for a number of years. He works with Arabs and Jews through an organization called E3 Partners and serves as the Middle East director for this church planting organization. Tom and his wife Joanne are often in the Middle East. They began leading tours there in 1995, and he was a pastor for 20 years before that, principally at the Tri Lakes Chapel in Monument, Colorado. He's authored a book called Two Nations Under God, which explains why America should care about what happens in Israel and the Middle East. It's being re-released later this summer. And Tom has an honorary doctorate from Asia Theological Seminary, is that correct?
That's right.
And a master's degree from Dallas Theological Seminary. It's so good to have you gentlemen here, and we're going to be talking about Israel. We sat in my office a few minutes ago and talked about the controversy that surrounds the theological understanding, the biblical understanding of that ancient land. Let's begin with this basic question. Do you, each of you, believe that Israel is covenant land given to the Jews by Jehovah as an everlasting possession? Is that part of your theological understanding?
Joel, yes, I certainly do believe that. I think the scriptures are very clear about it, and I think the scriptures are clear that God never intended to break that covenant. And Paul describes that in the book of Romans, that he has not given up on the Jewish people.
And Tom, you agree?
Absolutely. Genesis 12, God talks to Abraham and says, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And he chose them. They haven't been perfect. You can read your Old Testament. You can look at the news today. They haven't been perfect, but God has chosen them, and he's sticking with them, and they are back in the land that is theirs.
For his own purposes.
For his own purposes.
And that the events that are taking place there now, today, conform to the prophecy written long ago by Moses when the children of Israel were about to cross the Jordan and inherit the land. And he says in Deuteronomy 34, even if you have been banished to the most distant land under the heavens, from there the Lord your God will gather you and bring you back. He will bring you to the land that belonged to your fathers, and you will take possession of it, and he will make you more prosperous and numerous than your fathers. And then in the book of Isaiah 11, verse 11, and it reads, in that day the Lord will reach out his hand a second time to reclaim the remnant that is left of his people. He goes on from there and then says he will raise a banner for the nations and will gather the exiles of Israel. He will assemble the scattered people of Judah from the four corners of the earth. That is pretty clear to me, and it is repeated in numerous places in the scripture.
They do. In the book of Ezekiel, chapters 36 and 37, God describes in great detail that in the last days, Israel will be reborn as a nation. The Jews will come back to the Holy Land after centuries of exile, and by his grace, they will make the deserts bloom. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and have an exceedingly great army. I mean, tremendous detail. And for 1900 years, people thought, well, that can't possibly be true. The Bible is just, you know, is not trustworthy, because clearly Israel will never be a country and the Jews will never have a homeland again. And then came 1948.
And then in Isaiah 66 in verse 8, this verse that I'm sure for centuries was kind of puzzling to believers, but it's so clear. Can a country be born in a day or a nation be brought forth in a moment? And here that happened in May of 1948 with Israel becoming a nation. The very next day after that proclamation was read, five Arab nations attack little Israel. And they survive, and there couldn't have been a clearer object lesson that God was behind this, because he protected them against all odds. Five nations attacking, and they survive.
And there are many scriptures that relate to the regathering of the Jewish people in Israel.
Absolutely. I mean, we hear the old Negro spiritual, them bones, the dry bones out of Ezekiel, can a man live again that's dead, and God brings the bones together. And that's obviously a picture of Israel. People thought they were dead and gone and off the radar. Nothing good's going to ever happen again. Here they are, a nation in the midst of hostile territory, vibrant, inventing things on the cutting edge, lots of Nobel Peace Prize, something like 22% of peace prizes are won by Jewish people, and God's just allowing them to thrive.
The eyes and ears of the whole world are on Israel, and especially Jerusalem. How else can you explain that?
You can't explain it any other way than that God decided to take the Jewish people, give them a land called Israel, give them a city called Jerusalem. And in fact, he didn't just give Jerusalem to them. He said, actually, that Jerusalem is his own. Mm-hmm. And Jerusalem has no natural resources. I mean, they barely have enough water. It's not on the highest mountain in Israel. There's no gold. There's no silver. There's no river. The Mediterranean is an hour away by car. I mean, there's no reason. God decided, and why the Jews? Why not the Kurds or the Japanese or people from Botswana? Nobody really knows. God just, in his sovereignty, decided, I'm choosing one group of people to give them one piece of land and choose one city. And he decided to stick with them forever and to show the world his love and mercy through them, even when we, and I say we because my father's side is Jewish, my mother's side is Gentile, even we have blown it. We've blown it a lot of times. As Tom said, you can read the scriptures. There's plenty of times where we blew it. We blew it. We didn't even get it when the Messiah came for us. When Jesus came, many of us, we missed it. But God loves us anyway. And if he were to break his promise with the Jews, why should we trust him to keep any other promise that he makes?
The promise was actually made to Abraham and then to his progeny because of his faithfulness to God. And these are the promises. He promised to make him a great nation, to bless him, to make his name great, to bless those who blessed him, to curse those who cursed him, and to bless all peoples through him, meaning Jesus. That is very exciting to me to see how it has played out. Jerusalem is mentioned 881 times in the scripture.
Especially when it's never mentioned once in the Quran.
Yes.
So you have, and God said he chose Jerusalem for himself. And it's as though God said, I will choose the Jews to bless them. And Satan, the enemy in the scriptures, said that he would choose the Jews to curse them. Mm-hmm. And God said, I will give you the land of Israel. And the devil said, I will take it away. And God said, I will make Jerusalem the city of peace, Yerushalayim. And the devil seems to have said, I will make it a city of bloodshed. And God said, I will make the Temple Mount holy. And it's as though the devil said, I will desecrate it. This is the tension. And you can't understand the history of the Jewish people or the history of Israel or the history of the world without understanding that spiritual dynamic.
Is that what draws you to the Middle East, Tom?
Oh, it was like a magnet the first time I went. And then I started to read the history, Jim, and seeing that it's been leveled, Jerusalem 18 times, changed hands 86 times. You can't think of a city that's gone through what Jerusalem has. And it is, Jerusalem is the heart for Jews, and that Temple Mount is the heartbeat, that 32 acres that there's a struggle over, and we hear all about that final status and all of these things.
Yeah, that
may be coming.
Is the third most holy site to the Muslim understanding. Therefore, it is a place of great contention.
Oh, it is. And I think conversely, if you look at the holiest site for Muslims, with all due respect to them, would be Mecca in Saudi Arabia. But Jews would not want that place, would not want to be a part of it. Neither would Christians particularly. But all eyes are on Jerusalem, and all the nations' eyes are on Jerusalem.
I have shared with both of you that my father gave me a book that, as you can see, I have it here in front of me, and it's falling apart. It was first published in 1856 by a man named Joseph Seiss, S-E-I-S-S, Doctor of Divinity. And the title of the book is The Last Times, or Thoughts on Momentous Themes. And it's a book on prophecy. Mm-hmm. 1856. And he is writing about what we're talking about. He's talking about the restoration of the Jews. And he says in here, "But that this scattered family of Jacob shall again be gathered and nationally restored to the land of their fathers is not so generally admitted." 1856, indeed. Some have no patience at all with such a theory, or sneeringly ask, what can be the object of such a restoration? What end is it to answer? What purpose can it subserve? But to all such methods of reasoning, it is enough to reply that our business is with the Word of God, and that if God has announced it as His purpose so to restore the Jewish nation, He certainly has adequate reasons to justify His purpose. The only question is whether God has said that He will restore the Jewish nation, for if He has said so, no reasonings of ours can invalidate His promise or throw uncertainty onto His word. In other words, I know it doesn't make any sense, neither does anybody else, but the word says it's going to happen, and there I make my stand. And then he goes on. There is beautiful language here that I wish I had time to read, and I don't often read to folks here because it's an insult to do so. But the writing here is so beautiful, even though it was written in the style of 1856. Let me read one more paragraph. "Now, what mean these anomalous, I might say miraculous facts that the Jews are going to come back? Why are the Jewish people still distinct and Jerusalem's walls still dear as ever? Why have Jacob's seed always refused to hold lands anywhere but Palestine, and Jerusalem always refused to give permanent habitation to any but them? Meet a Jew wherever you will, and he is a mere wanderer or sojourner, ready to move at the shortest warning, scattered all over lands beneath the sun. He has never taken root in any. And of all that have tried to fix themselves in the Holy Land, Romans and Persians and Saracens and Turks and Egyptian caliphs and Latin Christians and Mamelukes and Ottomans, none have ever been able to gain a permanent foothold in it. Why is all of this? Men of political science may try their skill at explanation, but after all, the problem will reduce itself to this, that God has His own settled purpose with this people and this place, holding the one in reserve for the other until each shall be forever satisfied with its own. Here, history is prophecy, and if all the holy seers were silent, the very stones themselves would cry out for Israel's restoration. The rocks of Palestine will have no Lord but Jacob." That was written 150 years ago, and it has come to pass. Praise the Lord.
Well, this is the power of the land that God chose for Himself. And this is the power of the scriptures that are true, even when centuries go by and people forget that it's true, or they question whether it's true. I mean, people say, well, I've never seen a resurrection. Well, if you've seen Israel come back from the dead, if you've seen the Jews come back to Israel, you have watched a resurrection. And as Tom alluded to earlier, Ezekiel 37, literally the prophecy about Israel being reborn, the metaphor that God uses for Ezekiel is bones, dead bones as far as the eye can see, that suddenly form back together, make a skeleton, get wrapped in muscle and sinew, and then in flesh, and then God breathes life into this new resurrected body. And then, so we wouldn't miss it, God says, That's the house of Israel.
That's right.
Tom, I see a glimmer in your eye as well.
Oh, boy. You know, I just a fulfillment of these verses, Jeremiah 31, I love this. This is what the Lord says. He who appoints the sun to shine by day, who decrees the moon and stars to shine by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar, the Lord Almighty is his name. Only if these decrees vanish from my sight, declares the Lord, will the descendants of Israel ever cease to be a nation before me. So from 70 AD to 1948, God still saw them as a nation. They weren't together.
And you see what Seiss was looking at
exactly.
Here.
Well, and then it goes on. Only if the heavens above can be measured and the foundations of the earth below be searched out, will I reject all the descendants of Israel. And then God adds this little P.S. because of all the things that they have done, declares the Lord. So God admits, hey, they haven't been perfect. I'm well aware of that, but I made a promise, and I'm going to see it through, and we see that today.
We serve a promise-making and a promise-keeping God. And, Tom, it's interesting. I've got the exact same scripture open.
Do you really?
So that's,
and so do I, by the way.
And here's the point. If you boil that down to a line that people can walk away with or they're driving in their car, the fact that there's a Jew on the planet, the fact that Israel is in the news means that there's a God who keeps his promises. Because there have been so many who have targeted the Jewish people for destruction and targeted Israel for destruction, that the fact that there are Jews, that there is an Israel in our headlines today and in our lives is proof of a God who loves us.
Absolutely.
And a God, it's only the God of the Bible that ever said Israel will become a country again. It's the only document in human history that said this would happen. Many people didn't believe it, but now we've seen it. We're seeing it happen in our lifetime.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, you have to ask the question, where today are the Perizzites and the Amalekites and the Jebusites and the Perizzites and all the
That's right.
other people who existed at one time? They're gone.
They're gone.
Israel remains.
That's right.
There must be a divine purpose here somewhere.
Oh.
And the church has made some errors historically in not standing with the Jewish people. The church was largely silent in the lead-up and the duration of the Holocaust. Not everybody. There were great Christians who were working very hard to rescue Jews. But we are facing a moment now where Iran is threatening to wipe Israel off the planet. And the church cannot be silent.
Hmm.
Not if we love Jesus, who was a Jew.
This is more than a 30-minute discussion. And our time is gone. And I hate it because we laid the foundation. Now we need to carry it on through. And we're just going to have to go on for another program. Is that okay with
That's
you?
That's great.
Okay.
We will pick up right here. And I don't know how people who don't hear today's broadcast will get up to speed with why we're excited about this subject. But we will point them to our website and
great.
To the, you know, a CD that we'll make available. Until then, thank you all for being with us and what you do. Your great love for God's people, wherever they are. Including Jews and Arabs, right?
Amen.
That's right.
Okay,
Amen.
We will talk more about it next time.
You have been listening to Family Talk and an interview Dr. Dobson recorded with Joel Rosenberg and Tom Doyle on the importance and history of the Nation of Israel. Learn more about Joel's humanitarian organization, Joshua Fund, and Tom Doyle's company, E3 Partners, on today's broadcast page. Go to drjamesdobson.org and then click on the broadcast tab. Again, that's drjamesdobson.org. While you're online, check out our various social media sites and get plugged in with us. If you're on Facebook, search for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk to like our page. Once you're there, you can listen to our latest broadcasts. You can also read any of the articles or blogs we have there as well. That's Facebook.com and then search Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. We also have a Twitter feed that we would love for you to keep up with us on as well. Find us by typing into the search bar Dr. James Dobson FT, as in Family Talk. Now, once you follow us, feel free to tweet us what you appreciate about our ministry or share with your followers any of our helpful, encouraging content. Once again, that's twitter.com, then find our feed by searching for Dr. James Dobson's FT. You know, we love playing these classic programs for you here at Family Talk, and especially alongside the new shows from guests that we know you will enjoy. But we can't continue to air these broadcasts without your help. So if you appreciate the ministry of Family Talk and can support us financially, make sure you express that appreciation. You can give a gift online at drjamesdobson.org, or you can call us toll-free and pledge your gift over the phone, 877-732-6825. Again, that toll-free number to call, 877-732-6825. Thanks so much for your prayers and those financial contributions that fuel and fund our ministry. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening today. Be sure to join us again tomorrow to hear the conclusion of this fascinating conversation here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Hi, Dr. Tim Clinton for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Hey, right now, grab your cell phone, go to your app store, and click on the Dr. James Dobson Family Talk app. Download it right now, and you can start listening anywhere at any time. 24/7, 365.